Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And now it's time for our Friday gathering. And this week, I'm joined by Seamus McGrath, Unifoil TD for Cork South Central, Gary Gannon, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Central, and Ellen Coyne, political correspondent with the Irish Times, and also Alison O'Connor, journalist and commentator. Now, the race for the Oris has been thrown wide open with the shock announcement for health reasons yesterday evening that former European Commissioner Mairead McGuinness is dropping out. Alison, to you first, we're nearly halfway through August. Single confirmed candidate left in the race with a clear pathway to nomination. Mairead McGuinness was a front runner as far as the opinion polls were concerned. Where does that leave the contest now?
Well, it leaves it, I suppose, in a strong sense of disarray, really. I mean, I'd like to start by wishing Mairead very well. I think that she was a really serious contender and had a strong chance of winning. And she is certainly a politician that I would admire, and I would like to send her get well wishes. And I can see why it caused such a shock, I suppose, on both personal and a professional level throughout Fine Gael. It really is one of those situations. You know, politics can throw up surprises. This was a very big one, particularly given the proxy. We don't know yet the date. I'd say we're looking at some time in and around, I think, the sort of bank before the bank holiday weekend in October. So that leaves things very tight. But having said that, I was talking to someone in Fianna Fáil before I came on, and they were actually saying to me, well, here's why. If you look at what else has been going on in and around, not Mairead McGuinness's announcement, but we'll say the fire that Garrett Sheridan has been coming under, where they're saying why it's a good idea to not be in the race in August, and that it's a slow time. The journalists are looking for stuff to fill air and fill newspapers. Now, I would say in the case of Garrett Sheridan, maybe he might have had less low-hanging fruit for the media to grasp onto. I know that he is claiming that there's a campaign against him and maybe being less than wise in where he's pointing his finger so publicly. I'm hesitant. You don't want to discourage people. We want as wide a field as possible. We want variety. People want to make a choice. But I do sometimes wonder at people who put themselves forward knowing what they're facing into, and then being surprised when indeed they face that and deciding that they're going to blame the media.
All right. Whether or not some of what they face, they should face, is a different question. Of course, we'd echo what you say there. We do wish Mairead McGuinness a full recovery and wish her family all the best for what must be a very stressful time. Ellen, her party, Fine Gael, are going to be scrambling for a new nominee. This was, you know, ahead in the polls, not quite declared, seemed to be managing campaign strategy fairly well by not going ahead with it. There will be a pressure to get another high profile name into the mix pretty soon.
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of the sense of like the perceptible shock in Fine Gael yesterday was obviously, as Alison touched on there, because Mairead is so well regarded. I think a lot of people in Fine Gael would have seen this as their best ever shot at the Oris, a party that has never held the presidency before. But I suppose, you know, even before all of this, there was a lot of calm in Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin about waiting until September to decide on their candidate, because they don't want a candidate to be out in a bruising campaign for that long. So I suppose being very sensitive to Mairead's personal health issues, I think that cool heads in Fine Gael will understand that they do still have time. And the thing that makes Fine Gael distinctly different from other parties, particularly Fianna Fáil, is that they have known options. Like, you have names floating around this morning. There's a huge grow in Fine Gael for someone like Heather Humphreys to run. She was always very well regarded. I think some hearts were broken when she said that she wasn't running again in the general, and then earlier in May when she said that she wasn't considering the presidency. You also have people like Francis Fitzgerald and Sean Kelly, who had ruled themselves out, but I think a lot of people would have regarded them as ruling themselves out for Mairead to leave the path clear for her. So Fine Gael is actually in a pretty healthy position, I think. Like, it does have options. It has at least three strong candidates there who would probably run a very good campaign, which is more than Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin.
Right, but maybe not as healthy a position as Mairead McGuinness would have left in. She had a life before Fine Gael, even though she was very much associated with Fine Gael. Her career in journalism or associated with farming, independently of her political career, was one great advantage that she had.
Yeah, which I think is what makes this a very fundamentally sad and human story before it's a political story. She had over 20 years in politics, was very well regarded, was an excellent campaigner, could really work a room, and as you mentioned, had even longer before that in public life, was a very high profile journalist, was very strong on rural issues, on agriculture. So there will be a lot of sadness in Fine Gael for that reason. But again, and it sounds like an insensitive thing to say, but from the colder political perspective, Fine Gael still has options and Fine Gael could still have a very strong right. candidate
I
for
do the think the part of the problem, briefly, sorry, the part of the problem for Fine Gael is I agree with Ellen that they do now have these three other options, but I think that maybe two of them who would really possibly like it, Sean Kelly and Frances Fitzgerald, but that if you had put Mairead McGuinness and Heather Humphreys head to head a couple of months ago, and, you know, did a column of plus, it would have been very hard to pick maybe which one of them. Now the issue is that you have the two that I mentioned who are keen, and I reckon that Heather would be head and shoulders above those two in terms of the party choice, but that out of the three, possibly, she's the one who needs the most convincing.
All right. Seamus McGrath, if there's ever a time for a big reveal for a centre ground candidate of Fianna Fáil, maybe this is the time to deploy it.
Yes, good morning everybody, and I also would like to echo the good wishes to Mairead. An incredibly difficult decision for anyone to make, to withdraw from a race like this on health grounds, so certainly my thoughts are with her. Look, Fianna Fáil has always been clear, I suppose, that we will make the decision in September. I think the election is still 2.5 months away. It's very early days. I don't necessarily think the public want a long campaign. I think we've seen in recent general elections a month is about enough of a campaign in terms of capturing that public interest and so on. My own view on Fianna Fáil, I think we should run a candidate. I think it's certainly within our grasp to put forward a very strong contender. I've expressed that view and I will be articulating that view in the coming weeks. I think there is an opportunity to hear for us in this presidential election. When you're around the country and you're speaking to people, you know, it is a discussion point, and, you know, the names that are in the field so far or the names that are being mentioned and so on, I think there is scope there for some strong names to emerge yet, and I think there is an opportunity there. So certainly from my point of view, I will be arguing that we should be running a candidate, and we should be running a candidate with a view to winning, to putting forward a really strong contender. Our last election for the president was in 97 with Mary McAleese. Obviously that was a successful campaign. So look, that is my view, and I think it's the view of a lot of the party, but obviously it will be a decision made in the coming weeks.
Now, what about the supreme sacrifice of advising your constituency running mate Micheál Martin to go forward for the presidential election? You know, hard as that might be to see him depart before the next general election as a constituency rival.
Well, look, I think Micheál would make an outstanding president, an outstanding presidential candidate in the first place. I think he's made it clear that he is not going forward as a presidential candidate.
You could work on him though, Seamus.
Maybe I could work on him, but he's doing an incredible job as Taoiseach. And look, I think his interest is remaining in his current position, okay. And he's doing a good job in that, and I wish him well.
Gary Gannon, you're backing Catherine Connolly. She's now the sole candidate with a pathway through the Oireachtas to get a nomination for the presidency. She has declared her hand, but is this really where you want to be with her as the sole candidate in the middle of August, with all of the focus now on her and all of the questions being thrown at her around everything she's ever done in her life up to now?
Yeah, just let me begin that by just firstly extending my wishes to Mairead and her family. I think yesterday's announcement capsulated perfectly for all of us that are there for far more important things than politics. So I just want to extend my best to Mairead. In terms of Catherine, Catherine's an excellent candidate. I watched Catherine doing her first press conference a couple of weeks ago, stood outside the door behind her, and she stood there just like an oak tree as questions were thrown at her from all and sundry, all of the difficult questions we told. And Catherine was calm, responsive, answered them. I think Catherine's exactly where she would want to be at this stage of the campaign. You know, her polls are very good, actually. In fact, I always felt that Catherine will take flight when it comes to the debates. Catherine's an excellent debater. When the public, by and large, get to see her against whoever that may be, I think that's going to go even further. I mean, I think Catherine doesn't seem... Catherine's answered all the questions, right. And she'll continue answering them, but she's an excellent candidate.
Would you like to see Sinn Féin row in behind her at this stage in the absence of them announcing any other name?
Less than my own constituency colleague, Mary Lou MacDonald. Yeah, no, I would. Like, I mean, we talk a lot about kind of some sort of alignment.
Double win there, Gary. You could have them run your own constituency.
Really to go. No, but like, I think we talk about alignment along the left. I think the presidential campaign gives us an opportunity to demonstrate that. Catherine is an excellent candidate. I don't see any reason why Sinn Féin wouldn't want to support her. If they want to go out and back their own candidate, I think that's fine. They have the resources, they have the numbers to do that.
They could run Mary Lou McDonald, and then they could advise their voters to give their number two to Catherine Connolly, and Gary Gannon mightn't cry too many tears over that strategy.
No, I certainly won't. Look, Sinn Féin's decision is up to Sinn Féin. I don't think any of us at this point know what it is they intend to do. But I just say, I think Catherine's campaign is already, I'm looking at it, I know people involved in the campaign, I'm seeing the volunteers that are coming in, I've seen the fundraising, I've seen them going around the country, she was down in the Fla dancing last week. There's a really excellent candidate there.
The events of this week, you know, Gareth Sheridan, and whatever your view on him as a candidate, you're backing a different candidate. But the difficulty of entry into a race, the level of scrutiny, some of the issues that have been raised, I mean, you came into politics from outside politics. How do you think politics is served by the conduct of presidential races, taking it away from your own candidate for a moment?
Yeah, look, I've been looking at the Gary Sheridan stuff over the last couple of days, almost kind of squeamishly, because, I mean, you can't help but feel sorry for the guy in a lot of ways, but then you also have to take a step back and say this is a person who wants to be the first citizen of the state. I think it's okay, the fact that the media are going to go under and have a look at exactly what who he is, what he represents. But I think there was a little bit of naivety from those who were advising him about getting involved when there was such low-hanging fruit there. I think the media have a job to do. Politicians have a job to do. I don't think we can argue too much about that. But it's been a little bit uncomfortable looking at the extent.
And somebody's ma has been dragged into the mix.
Yeah, it's like,
what do you think?
Yeah, honestly, it's really uncomfortable to see. Right. I didn't understand his ma being dragged into the mix, to be honest with you. I didn't get the point of that. I think he's business affairs, those who he aligns himself with business. I think that's fair game. Bringing somebody's mother into it, we brought my mother into it, would be a very different story. She'd come out here herself.
Right. But like, before we get off the presidency, just Seamus briefly, Bertie Ahern, Mike Ryan, Tony Houlihan, any of those candidates float your boat, particularly the non-party ones? Do you have a view on Fianna Fáil backing a non-Fianna Fáil person?
Yeah, so a lot of names have been mentioned. I think the first decision we have to make is the decision to run a candidate, and from that there will obviously be a candidate selection process in place. I'm not going to pick any candidate at this stage. I think there are a number of names out there. I think it is well within our scope to put forward a very strong candidate within the party or outside the party. Okay. I'm open to someone outside the party if they are a strong enough candidate. That's the important thing for me, that we're in the race to put forward a credible candidate who can really put in a good campaign and hopefully win.
All right, yes or no, Malcolm Byrne's suggestion of allowing councillors to facilitate somebody running.
My view is that if we put forward a candidate, then it is incumbent on all party members, including public representatives, to get behind that candidate.
And if you don't?
If we don't, well, then I would be more open to the suggestion of councillors having a say.
I personally think it would be poor form for Fianna Fáil not to put somebody forward. And I have a feeling in my waters, whether this will prove accurate or not, that Fianna Fáil are going to spring somebody in September. And I just don't see, going back to what Gary was saying about Sinn Féin, I find it very hard to see Sinn Féin coming out and backing Catherine Connolly. Sinn Féin is not used to sharing. Sinn Féin is not used to kind of bending to anyone else's will.
Look at Poker Face down the side there.
Yeah. And I mean, I just find it very hard to see that happening. And I find that we've just discussed, and I felt sympathy for Gary Sheridan's mother, how detailed and sometimes dirty it can get, and how you hold that coalition together if you were to have Sinn Féin to join Labour and the Sac Dems in backing Catherine Connolly. And the kernel of
I don't know, the Mary Robinson campaign managed it with the Democratic Left and Labour, who are sworn enemies.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I think that if you have to look at the, if I'm going on here to the bigger picture in terms of Sinn Féin and what Sinn Féin say it is its raison d'etre, and that is a united Ireland. And so if Sinn Féin does not run its own candidate, you know, to represent the nation and to talk about a united Ireland, I think that really damages their...
But the self-declared united Irelander and Gael Gore, Catherine Connolly, Ellen, you know, it's about the person, not really the party affiliation. So do you see a way that Sinn Féin could say, not this time, and back her?
I do. Well, I mean, I think everyone was paying attention to the love letter from Catherine Connolly to Sinn Féin when she mentioned a United Ireland, I think for the first time in her parliamentary career when she was launching her campaign. Like, to pick up on what Alison is saying, I think if Sinn Féin back their own candidate, the only conceivable one at the moment is Mary Lou. And I know that a lot of people are talking about, and Teresa Reedy was talking about, Sinn Féin using the presidency to advance a United Ireland. I know this sounds really counterintuitive for a political correspondent to say, but in a lot of voters' minds, they don't see Mary Lou as being a United Ireland candidate. Like, we got a fascinating email from a listener to Inside Politics recently saying, I love Mary Lou on things like housing and the cost of living. I'm nervous about Sinn Féin when it comes to the United Ireland stuff. And I don't know how you would sell that kind of Sinn Féin presidency to the base, because so many people expect Mary Lou to be a figure that holds Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to account. We know that that's not what the presidency is. And if they're not putting forward Mary Lou, and they're nervous about backing a candidate like Catherine Connolly, who they can't control. They can't control what she says during a campaign. But I think that idea in Sinn Féin is calcifying, that it would be in their interests in terms of Dáil politics to be united with the other parties on the left. But however, that was the frame of mind when it was Catherine Connolly versus Emma Reid McGuinness, which people in Sinn Féin would have seen as a kind of left-right presidential election. So everything has obviously changed now, but okay, we still don't know.
What are the subterranean whispers in Dublin Central, Gary, on all of this?
The subterranean whispers, I haven't heard of any Dublin Central candidate supporters base who are particularly eager for that candidate to run for president. Talking to some people, I'll stop speaking in riddles. Sinn Féin supporters I'd be aware of don't seem to believe that Mary Lou is going to run for president. That's all I have from Dublin Central. Right. But, I mean, nobody's trying to control Catherine Connolly either. You know, I mean, ourselves, PPP, Labour. Catherine Connolly's just a good candidate of the left. There's enough of her to go around. She embodies good values. She represents an Ireland that I believe in. I think Sinn Féin can definitely get on board with that.
But, I mean, you'll have a view as to what values should be articulated in a campaign, and other backers will have a different view, and you may actually disagree with some of the priorities.
I'm one of those politicians that actually believes in disagreement, believes getting around the table, actually not agreeing 100% on everything. I don't think I'll agree with Catherine on everything, but I think that has to be okay, and I think other people might actually find a place for that too. I think Catherine's bringing in voters from across
but
the
Gary,
left.
But Gary, that's not necessarily a Sinn Féin approach, is it? In fact, no. I would say that it's very much at odds with what we would experience with Sinn Féin over not just years but decades.
Yeah, that's
right.
Fair enough.
Seamus McGrath, whether or not Fianna Fáil declares that, and I appreciate you've said repeatedly now that you're going to make that decision in September, whatever it is, but you're hardly going to just let a contest pass if the only candidate so far is in it is Catherine Connolly, or if Sinn Féin decide that they'll enter against her.
Yeah, look, again, my view is we should contest. We're the largest party nationally, we're the largest party in local government. Not having contested a presidential election since 97, I really think we should be contesting this one. I think it is an open competition at this stage. I think, you know, it's very much there for the taking. No disrespect to Catherine, I have great respect for her, but she is the only candidate at present with a pathway to a nomination. So look, I think as the largest party, I would strongly be of the view we should be contesting it. And I think that would be the general sense of our members across the country, to be perfectly honest. Of course, there are cost implications and so on, but I think we need to set that aside. This is a presidential election. It only comes around every 7 years at best. And I think we should be on the pitch.
OK. We'll have a look at the budget, because we've got an official date now, Alison, October 7th. We've had, if you can call a 9.6 billion euro budget spending plan lowering expectations, that's what they've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, God, this is going on for so long now, isn't it? This whole idea, I've often compared it to, like, you know, being on heroin and moving on to methadone, where we're being told with things like corporation tax and strong economic headwinds and all of this thing that we're, you know, all this money that we've kept finding over the years down the sofa. You know, that we have to be weaned off that approach and that idea that this money is going to keep getting given out in the budget. And even though all of the noises, if you like, or many of the noises coming from government is signalling this, and even what we see now with tariffs and all the tariffs that that were actually came into effect in the US last week, we're facing a really, really difficult financial situation, which is different from anything we have faced over a number of years, like since the crash, really. But I don't think that reality has set in amongst the public or actually amongst a lot of government and opposition politicians. So that, yes, there is all of this money or the illusion of all of this money, but we're still going to hear so much noise looking for what we knew as the one-off payments. And of course, there are people who are genuinely in need. But again, the problem has been that you look at a group that's genuinely in need and then you look at Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael who argue the toss and end up giving a universal payment, which ends up being far more expensive than what ultimately I think we'll be able to afford and what we should be looking to being more careful over what's going to happen over the next 2 years.
All right. In a couple of weeks' time, Seamus McGrath, people are going to be coming through your doors anticipating autumn electricity bills. The school bills are going to be coming through. And there have been people who, on top of all of that, were already living in difficult circumstances, whether that's due to, you know, where they are economically with wage levels, whether they're dealing with the costs of a disability in the family. And they will be looking for something from this budget at a time of unprecedented national wealth. It's going to be very hard to say no to people like that. Should no be said to other people in order to target the budget at those people?
Yeah, look, you're absolutely right, Colm. And people are coming through the doors already. You know, I'm a constituency TD and people are in contact about the cost of living and the challenges they face on a day-to-day basis. You know, I read an email last night of a two-income household, traditionally good jobs, but finding it very difficult to make ends meet with childcare costs and so on. So there are real challenges out there. We totally understand that. But the government has to obviously strike the balance here. We have an envelope of $9.4 billion. It's a significant sum of money in terms of a budget package. There'll be $1.5 billion of that for tax measures. So we are going to have to get down into detailed discussions in the coming weeks to decide how that funding is allocated. And of course, that is
a 9% VAT rate the best expenditure of that?
Well, that is one of the critical decisions that has to be made. And that sector, the hospitality sector, has obviously put forward a very strong campaign.
Well, now they want an excise cut on top of that. We heard the Vintners Federation of Ireland out during the week saying, you know, we'll see your 9% VAT rate cut and we want excise on top of that to keep us viable.
Yeah, and I mean, look, there can't be one for everybody in the audience here. You know, that's just not possible. And the government has to make a decision in terms of what is the best use of the resources available. Workers need a break. You know, people on social welfare living alone, for example, need support. Pensioners living alone in particular, they're a group that I would always advocate for because
okay,
it's
well
very...
Who would you say no to?
Well, at this stage, I'm not saying no to anybody because you have to look at it in the round and you have to look at what funding is available. But what I am saying is we have to be very targeted in the funding we have. Since the pandemic, we put forward $10 billion in one-off measures, in the so-called one-off measures, and there were about $5 billion additional measures which have now been built into the system. We can't sustain that, and that has been well flagged by both ministers at this stage. So we are going to have to be more targeted, absolutely.
All right.
But critically important, Colm, is our infrastructure and our national development plan, and that's going to be a key part of our budget. We've seen $1.102 billion between now and 2030 to bring us up to standard in terms of water services, housing, transportation and so on. And
okay,
that's critically important.
Right,
and that's a key part of the budget, our infrastructure.
Gary Gannon, who, you know, what does targeted mean? We've had calls for universal benefits, you know, packages, cost of living packages and everything else. But, you know, if it is to be targeted to help those most in need, I mean, there was a slew of callers in and Liveline over the last few weeks talking about people coming up to the age of 90 and no certainty over, you know, potential residential or respite care for their adult disabled children.
Yes, the targeted means given to those that actually need it. That's obviously a broad statement, but when you get into it, you can see the figures that are captured by the Vince and the Ball in terms of the level of poverty in this country. Targeted measures going at people who are below the belt, can't pay for their electricity, struggle to put food on the table. That absolutely should be targeted.
Right, so leave college fees at €3,000 and improve the grant and the parameters of people who qualified for
college
it.
College fees for me is different. That's investment in society. Investment in somebody's education, that's investment in jobs you get afterwards, and that comes back in different forms and different ways. We need.
But some people are well able to pay for it.
Some people are very well educated, but education is a public good. Look, I definitely believe education is a public good. The investment that goes into that comes back in different ways, and people do pay for it also. They pay for it in different ways. Colleges should be free at the point of entry. Other costs kick in after the fact. But when it comes to issues like the electricity grants that were given out, there's no way they should be given on such a universal basis. Again, particularly when it came to the second homes, the 9% VAT. Look, the 9% VAT campaign was one that was designed for the small cafes, the coffee shops, the large hotelier groups. That does actually leave a bit of a groan in the throat. The government is saying there's no way that they can actually separate that. I don't believe that to be the case. Where there's a will, there's absolutely a way, and that comes down to $500 million once you do that.
All right, we're already into it, Alan. The you know, the massive resources and yet the attempts to manage expectations. Do you think no will be said to anyone?
Well, I think politicians are in, government politicians are in the unenviable position of trying to manage expectations that they themselves set in previous years with one-off, quote-unquote, one-off cost of living packages. I think what Seamus touched on there is probably going to be one of the defining stories of this budget cycle, which is the growing queasiness within Fianna Fáil about the 9% VAT rate for hospitality. And I think what's going to happen, and it's something that's discussed on this programme a lot, is the public and maybe even people in the opposition like Gary will say that the government aren't helping you with the cost of expensive groceries because they're focusing instead on restaurants and dining out, which a lot of people can't afford. And I think that will be very difficult. I mean, I think it's interesting to hear the 9% VAT rate for hospitality being framed as a difficult choice yet to be made, when if you listen to the likes of Simon Harris over the last few weeks and months, this was a solemn promise that the government had apparently already committed to. So I think maybe some of that queasiness is driven by the summer economic statement, which showed how much this measure is going to cost, how much of the tax package it would eat up. But I think that the political antennas in Fianna Fáil are probably twinging with the realisation that a 9% cut for hospitality, even though it can be well argued for, is probably not something that the majority of the public would be very sympathetic to.
All right, Alison O'Connor, childcare is another solemn promise. The Department of Finance Work Productivity Report identified it as a major barrier to women in the workplace. Affordable childcare, so, you know, 9% VAT or better provision for childcare. How are you fixed?
As picking up on what Ellen was saying there, as I understand it, this is a solemn promise between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you know, when they were, when the government was being formed. I agree completely with Ellen. There's going to be a lot more queasiness on the part of Fianna Fáil, you know, as things move on and maybe as conditions toughen economically. The notion that you would put it off maybe until next July, I think we'll favour Fianna Fáil's position if things start going in that direction.
Seeing as we have somebody from Fianna Fáil on the line, are you queasy, Seamus?
Well, look, I think Minister Pascal Donoghue in recent weeks has obviously commented on this, and he has put forward a cost of about €1 billion. And he also made the point that if you were to take this measure, it obviously comes at a price in the sense that you can't do other measures. And as far as I'm concerned, the budget discussions have yet to enter the phase where detailed decisions are to be made. You know, political parties will set out various positions or whatever, but it is a coalition.
Are you in favour of it or not?
It is a coalition government and decisions will have to be made.
What are you telling publicans and hospitality outlet owners in your constituency? Are you in favour of it or not?
Of course I want to support them and assist them, but if it comes at the price of saying we can't give a worker a break, for example, then I think we need to consider it very carefully.
Okay.
And we are at that stage of budget discussions where it's the opportunity cost of measures that you have to look at as well, not just what it will bring to a particular sector, but what it means for another sector, what you can't then do. So look, this all has to be considered in the round. But of course, we recognise the role the hospitality sector played. They put forward a very strong campaign.
And you have said that. We have to leave
Fearing
that there.
Fearing towards a no, I'd say there, listening to
Seamus. We're back in a minute.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.